The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Pretty good voter turnout here in Southern Oregon, especially out on the coast. They're almost like the smaller the counties and the redder the counties, the higher it is. But Multnomah and Clackamas, relatively, I don't want to say light turnout, but not anywhere near where they were in 2020. Not really the last time, nor not really as high. Maybe that keeps going that way. That would be a wonderful thing as far as I'm concerned. You know why? It actually gives people such as Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum an honest shot. You know, if you end up suppressing the vote, if the Antifa folks in Portland don't feel like filing or voting for Kamala, they don't think she's progressive enough or something, and so they just are discouraged and don't feel like voting, that's okay. That actually helps us here. You know, maybe you get a Will Lathrop. Maybe you get a Brian Boquist over there in Treasurer. Maybe you get Will Lathrop as Attorney General, although I have some questions for him on Measure 114. I don't know why he can't just say, hey, it's full of baloney. But Secretary of State Dennis Linthicum, yeah, it could help the down ballot. I mean, really, it could. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm hoping that's a trend. I hope that is a trend which continues, in which the northern part of the state is very upset. Of course, they're probably going to riot. That's why they're sending all the cops up there, too. I don't know. We'll see. 770-5633. Let me grab a quick call here before news. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. This is James.
Hey, James. What's on your mind today? Huh?
Well, I had a quick question, kind of off the topic. I heard a report of a first bird flu outbreak in Jackson County.
Yes.
And I wonder if you knew anything about it as far as when they said the farm is quarantined. Does that mean that the people are no longer allowed on their property?
I can't answer that. I really don't know. I can try to find out. All right.
Yes. Anything you can find out would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, make a note that I haven't really kept up on this because it's one of these things where bird flu, blah, 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 health department, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it's, of course, hey, maybe this is the conspiracy theory day before election version of this is how they shut it all down. Bird flu instead of COVID this time around. Yikes. Still some emails of the day. Emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. If you need some special mouthwashes or toothpastes, toothbrushes, things like that, they have a kiosk over at Central Point Family Dentistry. They'll sell it to you at their cost. Will not mark it up. Good people over there at Central Point Family Dentistry, Freeman Way in Central Point. Ron writes me this morning, Bill, what will happen? Because earlier this morning, I was just expressing my frustration when I came on the air. I just said, all right, I've been watching the same news and seeing all of this analysis. I still swear I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe none of us do. But this is what Ron says, what will happen. The winner needs to win in the big battleground states. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, all of these states except Wisconsin are in the Eastern time zone. These states will tell the story on how the election's going to turn out. If Trump can win these, or the majority of them, then he should win. We should know this before midnight tomorrow. Of course, the margin of victory needs to be sufficient to offset the last-minute shenanigans that will no doubt be taking place. Oh, the election fortifications, eh, Ron? My personal opinion, Bill, is that Trump is ahead more than the polls would indicate. So I, like you, am guardedly optimistic. I appreciate your writing, Ron. Now, Randy, on the other hand, writes me and says, Bill, trouble's coming. Washington, D.C. is being fortified. They are expecting trouble after they steal the election. We thought Biden was bad. We ain't seen nothing yet. Leslie writes me this morning, Bill, I have seen ads from the League of Women Voters in support of Measure 117. Isn't this a group you've had on your show as conservatives? I have voted no on all props and Republicans down and down the line. Hope you have a great weekend, Leslie. Leslie, I have never talked or presented League of Women Voters as a conservative group, just like I would never present a Chamber of Commerce as a conservative group. I mean, even look at the Medford Chamber. What do? They endorsed Pam Marsh. Pam Marsh of, you know, Fire Map Marsh. Maybe that's how we should nickname her from now on. Fire Map Marsh. Fire Map Rep Marsh. Got to come up with a alliteration for Jeff Golden, too, for that matter. I mean, can you think of one bill that was passed that has caused more trouble here? And we're going to endorse them. Yay. I don't know. But no, League of Women Voters is not a conservative group. Measure 117 is being pushed by out-of-state liberal groups, out-of-state progressive groups, spending millions. In fact, if I recall correctly, it is the biggest contribution from one left-wing nonprofit. I think it was $2.5 million for ranked choice voting. Yeah, ranked choice voting is so good they don't want to do it in their own state. They want it here. They want us to experiment for them. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to be the petri dish, Les. I appreciate your writing, okay? Thank you, Leslie. The email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. We'll check town hall news coming up. Dr. Powers will join me, too.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., the best roofing pros in Southern Oregon. Decades of
59 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
Mommy's all right. Daddy's all right. They just haven't voted yet. Get him out there, okay? Dr. Powers rejoins the program, retired professor of business law. How you doing this morning, Doc? Welcome back.
Doing good, my friend. As a matter of fact, if for any reason the chameleon wins, we will have the following. There will be a new drink that she'll hype, which will be called Inflate Your Joy. It's an artificial everything. On the other hand, you'll also have all sexes, man, woman, or otherwise, are going to rejoice. Oh, there's going to be a big demand for nannies and a run on knee pads.
Well, from your lips, my friend here. You know, after this weekend, though, this weekend was just kind of bizarre. I don't know if you were camped on it. Linda was camped on it more than I was because, you know, I'm in it all day, and so Saturday, Sunday, I had to get away from it. I had to get away.
Oh,
so
heck yes.
So I'm trying to clean the garage a little bit, not very successfully. But I was telling Matt that at least I carved a path through the garage to get from one end to the other. So that was progress for me. But, you know, you had the left is really just being honest. I appreciate an honest left, and we hear really what is going on here. You had Fetterman. You heard about Fetterman calling Republicans a-holes, right? Remember that?
Uh-huh, yep.
And they were calling us deplorables way back when. Then it's Nazis. You have Joe Biden calling us garbage people. And then no strong, intelligent women support Trump. And now you have Hochul, by the way, Hochul, Governor Hochul in New York State, calling Republican voters anti-women and even anti-American. Yeah. So my question for you here, Dr. Powers, after this weekend, with all the names the Democrats have called the Republicans, can we finally have Republicans in our state legislature ditch with the reaching across the aisle talk? How many times do you hear Republicans talk that way in Salem? Every time, don't you?
Yes, we do. And the problem, Bill, is that that's what we got with the Bush Republicans, which got us Biden and Obama, which got us in the mess we're in.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you what, you know, you're right, because what it comes down to is what we're seeing here in Oregon is what would happen if the chameleon does win and gets the 4 years for the oligarchs,
sure,
donkeys on parade. And you're absolutely right.
It's really the way they collectively tend to view us. Now, maybe not everyone, all right, but still, certainly they're luminaries, right? And yet, I can't tell you how over the years I've listened to so many people either running for office in Oregon as Republicans or have been, you know, serving as Republicans in office that would say, well, you know, they would use this as part of their platform. I can work with the other side. I can reach across the aisle to the other side. It's like,
yeah,
no.
You know, Bill, I was thinking about that this morning. And the reason is take a look at even Trump. Trump is not demagoguing, you know, far left or Democrat voters. And the reason is that you cannot estrange and tap off the large independent slash leaning left transition.
And I get that. I understand that. But on the other hand, to say that for Republicans in a state controlled by Democrats at this point in time, to more or less make it sound as if you're there to help Democrats pass legislation is not necessarily a winning strategy ever. Or, you know,
no, and I agree with you, because on the state level, I would really like to see Southern Oregon organized Republicans to get behind, for example, Randy for county commissioner for Jackson County, because we have Denise Krause. You go through Ashland, they're doing the same thing here. I've warned people about this before. I live here. I've been here for 35 years. You have so many signs up for Denise Krause, and they're always the same far-lefters, because I get to know them. You know, I work with them. You can see the fact that they're doing here in Ashland, my friend, exactly what they did to legalize cannabis, to get organic farming in, to get all these other things in, because you have the head of the snake that appears here with their at least 15,000 voters, and add in the students that are going to be in there that are going to vote Democratic.
Explain to me why out-of-state students should be on our voter rolls. They should be voting absentee in their home state.
They shouldn't, and that's what's happened when you get Biden in and you get the Obamas in and you have the oligarchs on parade in, along with here in the state level, because they push through these things. Like, you are putting the warning sign out in terms of this voting change that would go in, where people would be putting in their choice. But that really means that when you have a control of a monopoly, you'll be able to keep it, and the far left can determine which office you're going to run for without having a problem in terms of not winning.
It's interesting to look around my particular neighborhood, and I think what certainly helped when it comes to Trump signs versus Harris signs, as an example, is that Trump charges for them. And I have a feeling that in the Democratic world, they were just handing them out like water, over at the Lithia fountain, that kind of thing.
That's a good point, Bill. I don't know what he would do in other states that are up for grabs, because here in Oregon, it's been a lost cause for national Republicans, and so
But I don't know. This may be different. There may be a little bit of hope right now. There's just a skosh of hope. And I just wanted to remind you that I had mentioned looking at the turnout, the voting turnout. And Northern Oregon, Clackamas in Multnomah County, they're running way behind their normal pattern. Now, there could be just a massive outpouring of voting in the last day or two, possibly. It could happen. But the other counties in Oregon are voting much more enthusiastically at much greater rates than Multnomah County. Now, granted, Multnomah and Clackamas are still two of the biggest ones, right? But if you end up seeing 10, 15, 20% less turnout in the big urban hive minds right now, because they're not all that. In other words, they're a leftist, but they can't really bring themselves to vote for Kamala, and they'd never vote for Trump, right? And
that's true, and this is a good observation.
And so maybe that will give us some chances for some of the statewide measures. And it may just get blown up overnight when the last-minute voting comes in. But normally, the blue hive minds, they vote early and they vote hard, and they haven't been, which is quite interesting. Now, Ashland, I'm sure, is doing big turnout because they are working really hard to take over Southern Oregon for sure, Jackson, Josephine County.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, I think it doesn't help. It doesn't help, though, that Randy Sparacino has been practically present nowhere. Have you noticed that? It's like
I haven't, and I'd like to ask you why. Is it a question of the fact he hasn't had the funding that's come in?
Oh, he's got plenty of funding.
Denise Krause?
He's got plenty of funding.
Okay.
But Denise Krause, say what you will, she has been active and really hard at it. I completely disagree with her point of view there. But, Randy, in my opinion, has, been MIA. And now I know there's lots of ads, but it's been MIA. I can't explain that. I hope he wins, but I don't know if maybe he doesn't consider himself a great public speaker. I don't know. I don't know. It just seems kind of odd, I thought.
Well, you know, you're right, Bill, because there's an additional factor that comes in here. Denise Krause, this is either her, this is her fourth election that she's running for, either supporting or, you know, going out and actively campaigning for.
Yeah, and of course, she was the one that was attacking the charter with the charter changes,
right.
What they were trying
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
You know, you should vote no against Denise Krause just for that reason whatsoever, because she's part of the agenda. Part of that agenda.
Well, I would say that, you know, being here and listening to her and watching her in action, I would say vote no, because it's very much like the chameleon who goes and said, I'm just middle class. You know, I'm just really so enthusiastic of being here with you all. And it is such far left liberal types of things that we've seen from Obama underneath the ground and also seen with Biden. Denise Krause is the same.
Hmm. Well, she speaks better than Kamala does, though. All right.
She does.
Yeah. And, she's better at extemporaneous speaking. That's what we'll say, though. But other than that, same stripes. We'll take that.
And you see, it's very much like Harris, because I was talking to a very good businessman. Who has been following this for some time, and he said, you know, I've talked directly, of course, with Denise Krause, like you have, and in any event, I like her personally, but her policies and her politics, and he used the words, sucks. Hmm. And that's what the chameleon is doing, and that is what Denise Krause is doing.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Doc, I'll tell you what, we're going to do it in reverse order. We did the present first, okay? But why don't we do a little past? And I'm glad that you went back to 1959 for this this amazing explosion in Roseburg. Listener called in and talked about this a little while ago, and we'll share that profile coming up. Okay, really interesting story.
I love it because it's an incredible story.
It really is. It's 8:25, and where present meets past, and where past meets present. Now we're going to go back to the past here in just a moment.
The Bill Myers Show.
Hey, Doc, before we get to the past profile here, I had an interesting email from listener Richard I wanted to run by you. I think you'd find this interesting because we were talking about, Republican candidates. He says, right. Bill, I have not seen any pushback on Measure 117, TV ads in favor of it, but nothing against it. I think it will pass easily since there doesn't seem to be any opposition to it except for Bill Meyer. Where are the Republicans? Lots of TV ads for Democrat candidates, but scarcely any by the Republicans. Do they want to lose? The traitor Kim Wallen runs lots of ads and endorsed Tobias Reid, but where is Dennis Linthicum? I did vote for him, but hardly a peep out of him. Perhaps he's more active up north. Now, I wanted to answer that. The statewide Republican candidates don't have any money because Republican voters haven't been contributing to these candidates. I think that may be part of it. Would you agree on that when you just look at their org chart?
I totally do. And part of the reason also is that when you take a look at state elections and what has happened, and you have and your listeners are people who work hard, either have their own businesses or are retired. And the whole thing is that none of us are millionaires. And so you decide where you're going to put your political contributions. Why not go ahead and try to put it to a place you can? And on 117, I believe I've seen ads as to the it's a sales tax.
Yeah. No, 117 is ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what happened with that. And, you know, people are wondering why they're seeing no pushback on 117 is that it's being pushed by out-of-state, liberal, wealthy 501c3s or c4s. I forget. It must be a c3 probably. And, in fact, they had the biggest contribution in this political cycle, some $2.5 million coming from this one nonprofit, you know, for this. So that's what's paying for that. It's not even being paid for from out of here. And yeah, raising money to say no on something like that would be a tough thing. Now, I know Dennis Linthicum probably raised maybe $150,000, couple hundred thousand dollars. And Will Lathrop over at Attorney General, he's raised about $1.5 million last time I recall. He actually has run a credible candidate. But, you know, people, you have to contribute to candidates, you know, and I keep saying that. And, you know, if people aren't willing to write checks to these people, they wonder why there aren't ads from them. See what I'm getting at? You know, it's...
I totally agree. The big question that I have not been able to find an answer to is we know that in the last election 2 years ago, federal, that money from Soros got in here.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is where is the Soros money going here in Oregon? Because he has been putting money in here. And the question is where is it going? And then
it wouldn't surprise me if it's being laundered or coming, going through cutouts and going in Measure 117. You know, the ranked choice voting.
As well as maybe a county supervisorial race.
Yeah, who knows?
Southern Oregon, but we don't know. But on the other thing, I'd like to ask you, that's an impressive haul by the Republican candidate for attorney general.
Yes.
How has he managed to do that?
Well, I
don't know.
I'm not sure. I haven't gone through his Orstar with a fine-tooth comb, but does appear to be a lot of genuine, some grassroots support. And he's also putting in some of his own money, too. I think
there you go, and actually, I would if I was a betting person, it would be also from his individual aspects that are coming in, whereas we have most people here who are running for office statewide don't have that advantage, and we're seeing it in terms of Southern Oregon's supervisorial races.
Yeah, it's interesting that once again, though, that we're not seeing great voter enthusiasm so far in Multnomah and Clackamas. That may be a unknown kiss for the people like the Will Lathrops and Dennis Linthicums, but I think a lot of people have not contributed to these candidates because they never thought that they had any chance in a statewide election. It's a tough deal to try to win a statewide election in a generally blue state. And yet CNN, I reported over the weekend, Doctor, is now calling Oregon leaning blue rather than solid blue. And I'm wondering if they were looking at the enthusiasm and turnout and wondering if this might be a change. I don't know.
I like that approach because that's what we're reading and talking and finding out in terms of states across this country having to do with their elections and also in terms of Trump. So we'll be optimistic on that side.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting to see Trump perform better than you think? Who knows? All right. Hey, before we take off, I wanted to go over, because a listener had brought this event up a few weeks ago on another topic. We were talking about something, and it had to do with the Roseburg explosion. And this was from 1959. It was August 7th, 1959. Great story. I'm going to post this up on KMED.com. But what happened then in Roseburg that is so worth noting?
It was, Bill, an incredible national story. Explosive truck that was crammed with 2 tons of dynamite and 4.5 tons of ammonium nitrate at that time was parked late at night in downtown Roseburg.
And this was Pacific Powder Company, not Power Company, but the Powder Company. So this must have been like explosive experts or something that had this truck parked downtown, right?
Yeah, that's correct, because what happened was Pacific Powder was out of business after the explosion because of the lawsuits and the negative publicity.
I would imagine. Yeah.
And in the delivery for that morning, the driver stopped in downtown Roseburg near the corner of Oak and Pine Streets. And worrying about theft, the company had instructed him not to park in the usual explosive storage depot located outside of Roseburg. Unfortunately, the building caught fire. They don't know what caused the fire, but it was about after 1 o'clock in the morning and 1:15 at night, firemen quickly arrived.
Wow.
But when you go into it, the fact that it left when all of that blew up, mushroom cloud of smoke over 2,000 feet high into the air. They thought it was like a Soviet atomic bomb attack. But just saying the crater is 50 feet wide and 20 feet deep.
Wow.
It doesn't do it justice.
It doesn't do it justice with how much damage came from that, right?
Yeah, because actually, if you go to the city of Roseburg, their visitor website on the blast, you'll find that 300 businesses within a 30-block radius were destroyed or substantially damaged by the blast.
And they had to practically take them all down, right? They had to destroy them, you know, after that, right?
Absolutely right. It killed 14 people, injured over 120 others. And if this hadn't have happened at 1:15 at night, it would have been a catastrophe that would have gone ahead and be talking about nationally.
Oh, you could imagine if it had been filled with pedestrians and shoppers and business people conducting their stuff during the day. You're right. So it wasn't a flaw with the truck. It was because the building where the truck was parked caught on fire and then touched off the truck, right?
That, and because it was at night, no one saw the warnings that said it was a truck carrying explosives.
Yikes.
And so people were looking, Bill, directly at that fire, trying to control it. And then an onlooker who posted, he was some feet away, maybe 50 feet away, said that all of a sudden he saw that the truck itself was going ahead and was bulging. And he was a Korean veteran. So he was running, and at the last moment, he went ahead and just dove into a depression. But he was severely injured by all the debris, but he was able to live and told his story. But when you look at the pictures on this, it reminds you of Hamburg in World War II. It reminds you of cities that were totally destroyed because of the effect of this blast. These are unreal images. But then what happened afterwards is, of course, lawsuits. And they had about $1.2 million in damages that were awarded. Now, this is 65 years ago.
So $1.2 million probably could have been what, the equivalent of $30 or $40 million now, maybe?
Oh, at least. Yeah, yeah, you're right, because the damages to the city were estimated at about $12 million to $15 million. It depends. The numbers go all over the map. But if you multiply it times a factor of 10 times, you're looking at something that could be as high as $250 million.
But on the positive side, though, the Roseburg blast ended up bringing attention, and people started being a little more safety conscious and forming disaster plans, too. You're right.
Absolutely right, because what happened then, even though it was a disaster, was the fact that Roseburg was rebuilt. You had, a new bridge that was built across the Umpqua River to the downtown. Mm-hmm. You also had, of course, stricter explosive transportation safety regulations.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they did blame the truck driver for parking in a congested area and leaving the truck unattended.
Absolutely. And then, of course, because of that, the negligence of the driver is attributed to the company. The only thing that really was good about this, if one could even be saying it was positive, is that the company was held to be innocent in criminal proceedings only because of the fact that who would intentionally try to cause a blast of this disorder. But I would still direct your listeners and your friends to take a look at the pictures on this. You can go Google 1959 Blast City of Roseburg, and all of us who have drove through Roseburg could see the changes that were happening, from 35 years on to where it is now. But on the other hand, it was a story of a national disaster.
Yeah, indeed. Boy, 2 tons of dynamite, 4.5 tons of ammonium nitrate. Boy, that is a big boom indeed, all right? Dr. Powers, we're past meets present every Monday here on KMED, and I don't know if this caller wants to talk to you or not. We'll find out. Hi, good morning, caller. Yeah, you want to talk with the doctor? Go ahead.
Yeah, you might look up. I think there was a second blast in Roseburg, if my memory serves me right. The truck driver pulled off the exit because his truck was on fire and ran back up to stop the freeway, and it went off, and all that was left was the engine block.
Wow.
That was years ago.
You know, that's a good point, and that's, part of the thing that happened was after the blast, with all this debris flaming debris going all over. You had gas stations, and this is in the pictures that I was recommending people take a look at, that look very much like, for example, when the 64 tsunami went ahead and destroyed Crescent City.
Oh, yeah, which was amazing destruction for sure. Hey, thank you, caller, for that. That's a separate topic, and maybe we'll look that up, all right? Appreciate the call. Doc, always appreciate you. Let's pray for a good outcome on the election and and hopefully a quick, fair count. All right?
My pleasure, and all the best, and we'll all be up late for the next few days.
Indeed. Of course, I don't know, a quick count, I don't know about that. Well, you know, a fellow can dream, can he? Rather than
Yeah, it's going to be stretched out in states as you're pointing out so well.
All right. Thanks, Doc. We'll see you then next week.
Take care.
All right. 842 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG on the Bill Meyer Show.
Two Dogs Fabricating fall blowout sale on the remaining Delco trailer inventory continues with just a...
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Hey, listener, Gino, if you're out there, I was trying to call you. You wanted to tell some story about Nixon and Kennedy back in the day. That was very appropriate given what's happening in our elections these days. Sure. But yeah, open phones. 770-5633, 770-KMED. Earlier this morning, I was talking about finding, as I was cleaning out the garage a bit, finding an old Medford Mail Tribune from 1994. I had saved it because it had a picture of my daughter, Sarah. There she is. It's a little crying toddler. Sweet little kid. Now she's in Florida. Hopefully she's not turning Florida blue. Just kind of leave it at that. And Jerry, the Bull's here. Jerry, you wanted to weigh in on that. I was talking about some of the ads from 1994, and you're seeing the change in prices. Just astounding. And 30 years is not that long of a time frame, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Yes, it's not, Bill. And I did hear you talking about that earlier. Anyway, I'm working right now. I'm headed back to Medford, but I'm out in Ashland. And on an annual basis, there's a restaurant in Ashland that Dr. Dennis Powers has mentioned in his past and present before. It's been around 78 years. And they're having a flip night at this restaurant. I believe, I don't know when, but sometime this week.
Oh, is this the restaurant that's changing owners or closing or something like that?
Well, as far as I know, it's still for sale, but I'm not sure. It's Omar's.
Oh, Omar's? Is Omar's going away? Really?
They're not going away. They were trying to sell it, I know, I think late last year or earlier this year or sometime. But anyway, it's still the same owner as far as I know. But anyway, they're having a flip night for halibut and prime rib. Mm-hmm. And they've been around 78 years. If you happen to win the flip of the coin, the price for your halibut or prime rib, from what I was told, is 78 cents.
Was that what they charged? Oh, no, 78 is in 78 years. That's pretty cool. That's actually a pretty cool little promotion they're doing. Yeah.
So, well, anyway. I've never participated in one of these events. I have eaten at Omar's a couple times in my life. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention it because I did hear you speaking of the prices earlier. And, you know, obviously there's no guarantee of winning, but there's a shot. But there's a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it is, we think of inflation as maybe just a relatively new something we've been talking about the last 2, 3, 4 years, right? And then you realize that this has been a creeping stealing from the people, from the regular people, for a long, long time. It's been going on, well, actually, let's be honest. The invention or the chartering of the Federal Reserve Bank was the invention of an inflationary currency. It was designed to be. When you hear, you know, elastic currency, a currency that can respond to the needs, you know, that sort of thing. In other words, the Federal Reserve is there to engineer inflation. And we just think of prices going up as a natural part of living. That's not the case at all. That's not the way it works. It's the currency.
Right.
Appreciate the call. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Good morning. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, this will be Gregory out of Strait of Cove asking about the election.
Yes, Gregory.
I was wondering, are we going to be experiencing a birth of a nation after the repeated penetration of the aliens voting?
I can't answer that question. What do you think?
I believe so. That's going to be the real surprise when we all wake up and the way the world is changing. I just thought it because I just picked it up from that movie, The Birth of a Nation, and then the aliens always penetrating, even way back from Cheney. I'll go back that far, and I'll leave that as a humorous note, though.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the humorous note. Always appreciate that, Gregory. Let me go to line two. Good morning. Who's this?
Gino again.
Hey, Gino. You wanted to tell that election story? Go ahead.
Sure. 1968, I'm a 20-year-old working at Teletape Productions, New York City. We handled both Bobby Kennedy as well as Nixon tapes in the beginning. Then Kennedy got shot, and we were over just to Nixon. Here's the criminal part of this. Okay? So they had picture this.
Now, you worked for the Teletype company, you said?
Teletape Productions. It was a videotape company. We did commercials like Bayer Aspirin and stuff.
Teletape. Got it. Okay, please continue. Yeah. Please continue.
Okay, so I want you to imagine this. They have five suits, all exactly the same. They have a picture of Nixon. The makeup artist sits down and makes him look exactly like he did in the last video and the last video and the last video. So he looked like he was the same person in every one. There was no difference. They set the stage in different gymnasiums so they could have a, shall we say, a town hall.
Yeah.
And the stage was set with transits by a surveyor firm so that every camera and every chair and the stage was all exactly the same in every location. They had a stenographer sitting there doing keywords on everything. And back then, an hour of videotape was a 73-pound lot, okay? It was a huge, massive thing. Okay, so every chair in the auditorium was labeled. One said, construction worker N, construction worker W. That was white and Negro, okay? This is 68. They had everybody, as you came in, you were designated, and you were put in a chair. So that when you looked at the picture, there was like probably 25 different lectures he gave, town halls he gave in colleges all over the country. But every time the camera turned to the audience, it looked demographically exact. And so what would happen is we had one camera on Nixon all the time and one camera on the questioner. When you came into the auditorium, you wrote your questions down and they were all sorted out and picked out. Okay. So let's see. They would say, Mr. Nixon, what about such and such, okay? And maybe this is a white housewife. And she asks the question. Now, she's standing there. The camera's on her all the time. And then you flip. There's another camera that goes over to Nixon. Well, let me say this about that, right? And he would go off on his thing. Now, we're sitting there, and I was a curious 20-year-old. And so I was constantly in the control room whenever I could, watching what was going on, learning how to edit video, et cetera, et cetera. I'm rushing through this. So, what would happen is somebody would ask Nixon a question, and he'd be standing there. So camera B, if you will, he's the B roll, the questioner, and Nixon's always the A roll. Okay, so Nixon would say, "Let me say this about that," and he would go off a little bit, right? And let's say his question or his answer went off the track. Then he would cut to the B roll and then switch to an entirely different lecture with a totally different audience. But it looked the same.
In other words, what you're hearing at, and you were working for Bobby Kennedy and for Richard Nixon back at that point. In other words, the manipulation of reality has been going on a long time. I would imagine it's much easier to do now.
Yeah. By the way, so they would paste it together. There was always 24/7 armed guards in front of a special bunker we had built in the basement to keep his tape. When I went from the control room down to the get another tape, I was timed. I would say the guy in the control room would say, he's coming down now. I'd go down and pick up, two guards would sign the piece of videotape out. I would get on the elevator and go back up. Well, one time there was a secretary on the elevator, so I took an extra ride because I really liked her. And so I took longer than a few minutes. They had people swarming the building to try to find me. Where's that tape? Where's that tape? On the evening of the election, I sat in the control room, and the guy's name was Mike. He was the chief guy from Doyle, Dane & Burnback, I believe it was, the Madison Avenue soap sellers, right? And so we're sitting there. We hear Nixon got elected, and Michael put his head down and started shaking. He goes, I sold him like soap. I can't believe this. I sold him like soap. I was so obvious, but they bought it anyway. Oh, my God, what have I done? What have I done?
Oh, boy, I wonder what that guy would say today.
Well, quite frankly, he's probably gone by now.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. But if he were here today and he would see what they're doing now with AI and the manipulation of so-called reality, yeah. Hey, great story. Thanks for sharing some of that. Anybody who is online right now, I will get to your call here in just a moment. And thanks for making that call there, Gino. 856. Yeah, that's the late 1950s. Imagine what happens now.
Lynn Barton here, Medicare advisor at Sky Park Insurance.
JustinTimeAppliance.com.
Hey, Todd, you get to wrap up this morning here about the Sparacino and, oh gosh, I just forgot her name. The other side of that on the right.
Krauss,
thank you. How could I forget that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I voted for Sparacino, but I have to give A for effort to Denise Krause's campaign. She's probably got a ton of money from the public employee unions. I got two handwritten postcards begging me to vote for Krause. I'm sure you saw that four-page newspaper that she sent out extolling her virtues. Mm-hmm. And I just got a 5x7 postcard saying how much she loves rural people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's got a great ground game. I mean, hats off to her.
Yeah, and I would still vote no, though, but I appreciate the call. Thanks for making that, all right? Hey, 9 o'clock, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.